In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, let me just say what a delight it is to be back with you again after 2 years, I think. Becoming a habit. But thank you so much for the kind welcome, the invitation to be with you, especially on this very joyful occasion, welcoming Vivian and Grace, Stella and Anastasia as members of the church here on All Saints' Day. Now, the collect, the special prayer for today, begins with a very resonant phrase. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship. And I want for a few minutes to think about that image of knitting together. You see, one of the problems we sometimes have when we think about the saints is that we tend to think of them as separate. Almost by definition, I don't know about you, but certainly for me, a saint is the sort of person I am not. As is well known, saints live in stained glass windows and have little yellow things around their heads. But more seriously, saints are people who are serious about God in all aspects of their lives. And once again, I don't know about you, but where I'm concerned, that doesn't really ring many bells. I'm bitterly aware of the fact that seriousness about God in every aspect of my life is just not something I'm particularly good at. And the saint, surely, the saint is somebody whose every moment is consumed with passionate, holy love for God and God's people. Therefore, not me. Therefore, I look at the saint from a respectful distance and say, good luck to you. But the strange thing is that the prayer this morning, the collect, puts this quite the other way around. Instead of being reminded of our distance from holy people, we begin by being told that we are knit together. We belong together. It's not that saints are over there and the rest of us, poor infantry, in the church or somewhere else. We are knit together in one communion and fellowship. To be a saint is to be bound together with people. And God is knitting us together, as if God were making some vast, unimaginably beautiful and colorful quilt, as if God were weaving some incredibly complex and beautiful tapestry. God weaves in and out lives threaded through one another so that together they are stronger. We all know that a piece of fabric you can break quite easily. When it's plaited together, woven into something larger, knit together, becomes far stronger than it ever was on its own. And that is the life of the saints, the holy people of God, the people God calls to be with him, knit together with his life, and knit together, woven together among ourselves. Stronger together, to use a rather unfortunate political slogan, which has not had a very impressive history in the UK recently. But seriously, stronger together is exactly what God calls us to be. And that means two things. First of all, being a Christian is being unashamed of the fact that we are involved with one another's lives and that we depend on other people's strengths. Instead of thinking, oh, there's a saint, and I'm just a feeble, ordinary Christian, I should be thinking, there's a saint, good. There is somebody whose strength pours into me. And who knows? The person I think of as a saint may think of themselves as a poor, weak, failing Christian, and may amazingly look at me and you and say, oh, I'm glad they're there. I depend on them. Knit together, woven together, in one fabric, our strength develops in common. And given that we live in a world where so often we are encouraged to value autonomy, independence, self-determination, it really does us no harm from time to time to say, I depend on the goodness and generosity of others, and I'm not ashamed of it. I live because they live. And that just might echo in your minds with the words of Jesus himself in St. John's Gospel. Because I live, they will live also. We're all of us knit together in this communion and fellowship, depending on, drawing from, feeding on the one great act of love that is God's work in Jesus Christ, living and dying and rising. Because he lives, we live. And that's the pattern repeated in the communion and fellowship of the church. Because you live, I live. Because I live, you live. And therefore, to be holy, to be a member of the communion of saints, is to be bound into that mutual exchange, that giving between people, that builds us up in strength together. So that the communion of saints, which we refer to when we say the Apostles' Creed, is not some kind of remote heavenly committee to which we can refer a few difficult matters. A glorified parish council, who knows? The communion of saints is us, the tapestry woven together, the quilt of many colors, that is God's reality in this world, living through us and in us. That's the first thing, then. We should be aware that our journey and our discovery as Christians is something we do together. The second thing that we might reflect on there is that God, in the life of Jesus, has come and connected with us who were not connected with him before. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we heard part of, that's a major theme on almost every page of that great letter. God has made connections, has made unity where before there was division. God has broken down the middle wall of partition that separates us from one another, says the apostle in that letter. So if God has gone around breaking down those walls and making connection, what God's doing is to draw into the communion and fellowship of the saints more and more unlikely, unexpected people. And if we are going to act with and in the Spirit of God, that's where we need to be. Going to make those connections, going to draw new people into this communion and fellowship, which means when we see the outsider, the person we don't particularly want to engage with, the person living in poverty or despair, addiction, insecurity, what we see is not a piece of human wastage. We see somebody in whose life God wants to manifest strength and love. We see somebody who, given the right human environment, can be a source of strength to others. More than just seeing the potential of people, it's seeing the God in people. Seeing that creative force of God's unchanging, sustaining love pushing through the life of the most unlikely people, and recognizing that if we knit ourselves with them in communion and fellowship, if we treat them seriously and are ready to receive from them, together we can build something. Just about a year ago, we had a large meeting in Cambridge under the title, It Takes a City. You'll recognize the echo of a proverb in a book. It takes a city. And what prompted this meeting was our awareness of the seriousness of the problem of homelessness in Cambridge. Homeless people without work, many of them addicted, many of them with mental health problems on the streets. And we asked ourselves, we being a group of church people in Cambridge, what do we need to do to break this cycle? Because it takes a city to solve a problem like that. Not just a few groups of enthusiastic volunteers, but all sorts of communities, agencies, knit together in one communion and fellowship, you might say. We invited to this meeting members of the local civic government, local charities, local businesses, colleges, and so on. But we made a decision early on that we also had to invite homeless people. If we were talking about what their future was, if we wanted them to find a healing environment to live, their voices had to be there. And it was quite difficult, because sometimes they said things which nobody in the room particularly wanted to hear. All the more important. We need to be there, trying to draw the unlikely, the apparently unwelcome people in, because there are strengths and gifts we all need, as they need us. It takes a city to solve a problem like homelessness. It takes a village to raise a child. Yes, it's true. It takes a whole church to do mission, not just a few specialists. Because each one of us, in our own way, has the task of making the connection that God makes, being alongside the people God is alongside, and seeing what can be done to create and extend that great tapestry of human interaction, interweaving, that is God's active presence in our midst. So finally, no, the saints are not over there. The saints are not frozen in their stained glass windows. The saints are not burdened down by their large golden halos. The saints are you and me. Not because each one of us is a perfect individual exemplar of Christian virtue and Christian seriousness. Doubtless there will be some such in this congregation, and we all look around and wonder. Do you know, the one sermon I remember from when I was a little boy was when the preacher said, "I hope there are no angels in this congregation this morning," he said. "And if they're here, I hope they will fly away immediately." And at the age of 7 or 8, I looked around rather hopefully, wondering who was going to leave. But I would repeat the words of that long-dead Presbyterian divine and say, no, we belong together as saints. Our holiness is not an individual achievement that we can calculate, tick off on our CV, and know that we've done something ourselves of great individual merit. No, no, no. We are knit together in one communion and fellowship. We are learning and living from one another. We are serving together, we are reaching out together, we are connecting together because of the God who has connected with us. And that great fabric that is woven by God's knitting, weaving work is something which not even the forces of hell can tear apart. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, says St. Paul. Nothing, therefore, can separate us from one another if we truly allow ourselves to be bound in this love and service, this joy and hope. And into this blessed fellowship this morning, we are welcoming Vivian and Grace, Stella and Anastasia, and we're very glad. Amen.